Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And War Machine Mark II has brought out the fanboys on either side of the debate. I like to say we can have a nice, calm, level discussion about the new rules on the show, but don't really count on it on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 8 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And today is Sunday, April 9th, 2009, which probably about 4 days at least before you listen to this, because we recorded a couple days earlier, but that's irrelevant, because we're talking about what happened back on, was it April 6th?
April 6th,
2009, so check on that before I start the show. Which, of course, was the release of the field test of War Machine Mark II. Of course, if you're not familiar with the game, War Machine is Privateer Press's flagship product. It's like a steampunk fantasy universe with giant, well, sort of large robots called Warjacks and lots of infantry guys. It's actually the second edition of the game. It's really the first major overhaul. They did a few little things, a few small changes back with War Machine Prime Remix, which came out, yeah. I think it was, like, was it just a year ago or was it 2 years ago? I don't know anymore. I think it was just a year.
Before I started.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, when, a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that, whatever. But this is actually a major overhaul of the rules. I mean,
it's almost a completely new game.
Well, rules-wise, yeah.
Rules-wise.
I mean, you know, that's part of the debate. Is it a new game or is it the same game? That's, you know, that you'll see in the forums, oh, it's a new game. No, it's not. It is. And then they start fighting back and forth with various text phrases.
And Doom.
Doom! And they yell in the head a lot. Oh, wonderful. That's what you get when the new editions come out. But the one thing that makes this interesting is it's a field test. So for those, basically it's a beta. So if you're familiar with computer software development, the idea of beta software, where a company will release a software, you know, a few months ahead of time and, you know, let people try it, see what works, see what doesn't before the final product is released. That's really what they're doing here, which is actually kind of interesting.
I mean, it's actually kind of nice that they're even willing to let us test it out and not change it and just say, screw you guys, we don't care what you think.
I'm sure this is not the first time some company has done it, but in reality, a lot of the big companies haven't done it. I don't think Games Workshop really did it. WizKid certainly didn't do it, or I would have been complaining like heck before the game tanks. Privateer Press obviously didn't do it with the first version of War Machine, because it wasn't the first version of War Machine.
Before, and everything.
So, yeah. So, I guess the whole thing is, let's hopefully they actually take our feedback seriously and not just like kind of do it to humor us, but we won't really see that until the final game comes out back in 2010. Yes, we're from the future. We mentioned that yet.
And yet we don't know what rule changes occur.
Well, I mean, then we would break the space-time continuum. We can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so anyway, what the heck, why Mark II? What are their goals here? This is basically what Privateer Press kind of said and what we can kind of infer from it. One, they wanted to streamline gameplay, in quotes. I'm putting that in quotes. I guess
because we
kind of did.
Well, not for us. We generally
We're still piecing together. We only played, four or five games so far. So, you know, it takes a lot. You really got to get a lot of games to get, you know, everything adjusted. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they did some things along that lines. I mean, if you think, well, we'll talk a little bit more on that in just a little bit. Also, they're going to make the game more Warjack-centric. There's a lot of problems with infantry armies. Your Manoth armies, you're slowly building until this came out.
It still works pretty well so far.
Still holding up. But it's definitely,
especially the Covenant. The Covenant just increases its ability.
Yeah, that Covenant is scary. The new Covenant, that is scary. Okay. Yeah, that thing is... No, we don't need to see that thing anymore. Simpler list construction, of course. They've totally revamped the entire point system. It's no longer a very large, very granular point system like just what every other game out there uses. It's a very small point system. Whereas, you know, a typical army might have been 500, 750 points before. It's now like 25, 40 points. So you can see it's a huge reduction in points. And that's part of my idea of what I call the monster apocalyptification of the game, if that makes any sense. So I think they took some ideas from the other game, Monster Apocalypse, and kind of merged it into how the list constructed. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. And let's see, what should we start with then? Streamline gameplay, points, Jack-centric?
Whichever one we picked to start off with.
Let's do streamline gameplay.
Absolutely.
That was first on the list. We'll do that. I'd say probably some of the things they did in terms of, if you read the entire rule book, they clarified a lot of things. There's a lot more kind of theoretical examples, I say, in terms of, you know, explaining how things are, how exact things are done.
Interact with each other.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, the rules are longer because of that, I think, but, you know, they're much more clearer. And because they have a lot more, not necessarily, they have the same, like, specific examples, but, you know, they explain a lot of stuff a lot more. Some more terminology is explained better. So that way it's kind of streamlined, but the biggest thing they did was they took a lot of the common abilities off the unit cards and put them into, like, a central sheet. That's why, you know, before you would see, like, guys who had, say, Fearless or Combined Range Attack. They would have, you know, on the back of their card, they had the little thing what Fearless meant, what Combined Range Attack meant. And now they basically took a lot of those, removed them from the actual descriptions of the back of the card, put them in one location in the rule book, much like how Monster Apocalypse does it, much like how MechWarrior Age of Destruction did it. And it says little symbols along the status bar. I mean, anything really bad about
it? It's neither bad nor good. I think it helps save space on the cards, personally. But after a certain amount of time, you're just going to memorize anyways what these symbols mean, just like you'll memorize most of your guys what they have. So I don't believe there's any real significant change or difference between them.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I mean, the one thing I think might be important is it makes the game more future-proof, per se. So if they want to make changes to, say, how Fearless or how Combined Range Attacks work, whereas before they'd have to revise 20 unit cards, now they don't have to do that.
That's true.
Of course, it does make the units a little bit more generic, because now they all have the same exact ability instead of maybe slight variations of the abilities. I mean, some had that, some didn't, so it's not a total generization of, if that was a word, generization of the actual units, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's one other. I mean, I think that's the biggest effect on streamlining gameplay. I mean, I know people have been angry about that because, in addition, they reduce some of the actual unique abilities that the cards
have. That's where I'm starting to.
That's what's ticking people off.
Yeah, I'm not as ticked off because I haven't had enough guys that have been really significantly changed. Because I started just about 3 months ago, four months ago, actually building up my army. It's just
but even like the Harbinger, who isn't actually really out.
That's the only one that I have a problem with is the Harbinger. A couple of the things that made her unique or special. I mean, even if it hurt her, like her godlike power.
Yeah,
which she couldn't channel anything. Now I get to channel. I mean, heck, I'm going to channel every chance I get, but still doesn't make it as unique. And the offsetting thing was she lost a couple of her abilities, including Call to War. And I forgot the other one she's missing ability-wise.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
But that's okay.
But, I mean, I know, for example, my Hunter, he was a guy who lost his pressurized reserve tank, which basically allowed him, after he moved and shot, he could then move again, which, frankly, was a very powerful ability. So, undoubtedly, some of the abilities were removed because they were, quote, too powerful, according to someone's
standard. Kind of
standard,
like Holy Zealot's yes. Greater Destiny with the Monolith
they
there.
They got... A lot of people complaining about them. They got nerfed pretty bad.
That's nothing compared to the Iderian
skirmishers. That's what I've heard. They're another guys you hear a lot of people complaining about. Oh, they're so terrible now. Which, I mean, if you look at the car, they did...
They really did nerf them.
They don't seem good in the car.
They had seven abilities before the changes. They have two now.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. But I think that also... Yeah, so that's also streamlining because there's less abilities to interact with each other and create less crazy crap that could possibly happen. Less rules debate, less arguing. I mean, obviously people are going to be ticked off because some powerful abilities were lost. I mean, another example, my standard bearer, my long gunners, he used to have the ability where he could, once per game, his little, I guess they call it the mini feet, they like to refer to it.
Yeah, they all have mini feet.
The long gunners would be able to shoot and then fall back. So normally you move, then shoot. This is once again the long guards could fire and then fall back, which obviously is a very powerful ability. That's gone now. He's just a standard bearer, which gives him... Actually, the standard bearer ability he had is actually weaker. What he had before was stronger than the generic standard ability that everyone has now. Because weren't the Zealots also fearless with their...
Yep, they're fearless. I think they still are fearless with the Monolith.
Are they? Okay, I don't know if I'm ahead of the card.
Their feat was the Greater Destiny, which has been completely nerfed. Now it's... They're no longer able to be targeted by ranged or
magic
hips.
Okay. Well, no, ranged or melee, wasn't it? I think it's still hidden. I don't know. It's something. There's something changed. It's not as powerful.
Yeah. Maybe it's ranged and melee.
You don't have the cards.
Yeah, I do. I have a card right
here. We have, like, all the cards here. They're just somewhere. But I think also a thing to consider...
Oh, I don't have the... No, I don't have the Monolith there.
Okay. I mean, for me, in all honesty, to remove some what seem like superpower abilities, that's not a bad thing. I mean, yeah, it can be irritating from a standpoint of I always played these guys, but if it makes the game flow better and makes things more balanced, yeah, it's not a bad thing. I mean, granted, War Machine always kind of had the unofficial tagline, it's all about putting together some sick, disgusting combo to just destroy your opponent. But maybe to pull that back a little bit, make it a little more balanced,
or
I'm all for that, personally.
Well, personally, I think they probably did a little bit of over, you know, reducing for the infantry. I'm not saying they didn't need to be reduced. They did. Some of these guys were way too powerful, but then they just overdid it. Zealots, I haven't had, we didn't really have given me a chance yet to test the comparison, so I can't really say about them. The Knights Exemplar, even though they got Pathfinder now, their ability was the Band of Brotherhood. I think that was reduced a little too much.
They're weaker, but they're also cheaper. We can talk about the points, how the points scale down a little bit later. But yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I like it. Well, I said I like it. That's all I got to really say about that. As long as it doesn't, I mean, well, it's another thing, sorry. Brain's shutting down. I was going to say, I mean, granted, we got new rules, new units. Stuff's going to either be broken or just plain crappy. It's going to happen. That's why, at least in the field test, they're giving us a chance to try these things out. You can go back to their site and say, okay, I think this is too powerful. I don't think this is powerful enough, yada, yada, yada. Hopefully they listen to that feedback. That's the whole thing. Hopefully they listen to the feedback.
As long as you probably come up with a logical explanation, you're a lot better off than whining and moaning about it, because then they just yell at you.
Yeah, they just yell at you.
They ask you why you're so stupid.
I don't know if they have any...
No, they really don't.
That far, but... Yeah.
It's pretty much the gist of it.
Well, yeah. That's the... Yeah. Okay. I can't... I should... Okay, never mind. I'm gonna take no stance on that issue. Yes, no stance. Okay, so let's
As
talk about...
As you roll your eyes.
Yes, I rolled my eyes back and forth several times, and let's just leave now. So let's talk about more Jack-centric. This is another big change, because you were talking about the infantry got nerfed overall. I think that was like part of, well, obviously reducing the power of infantry inevitably makes Jacks more powerful. But the reality, though, is they made new rule changes that just makes Jacks more powerful, independent of making infantry weaker. The whole idea of crippling the systems, where your arm's not completely ripped off, it's still somewhat functional. And you still can get like shield bonuses and equip, and you still use your weapons. There's no more disabled jacks. I honestly, I like it. I think War Machine is about war jacks. So,
I mean, I'm fine with improved war jacks. I just did not like it as much at the massive cost of against the infantry. I think the infantry could have been nerfed a little bit less, and maybe the warjacks made it a little bit more powerful instead as an offset.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why. I mean, there's reasons, and you know we can go into it later. But I think they overdid it a little bit on units they felt were too powerful. They really just stomped down on them. So, that's my opinion because I play more infantry than anything else.
I mean, for me, the reality is this game is about warjacks. The fact that a lot of armies could, in my opinion, in a game where it's about warjacks, you really shouldn't be able to have an army that has no warjacks to it. It seems like they're like the central, it's central icon in the game, and the fact you can run successful armies without them and win, in my opinion, isn't a good idea. I mean, it's like the idea of having a mechless mech warrior army. It shouldn't be able to happen. You should be able to have, basically, a mech should be vital to win, and not that you should have all mechs. But you should have to have a mech-centric, or at least a mech in your army. Same idea here. The fact that you can have infantry are so much better than the warjacks that made, at least some infantry, made the warjacks pointless was kind of defeating the whole thing, what made this game good.
Could be also assumed that the warjacks would have been costed too much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. And some warjacks, Charger, Sentinel, got huge point drops.
Repenter. Which is still worthless.
It really is. It needs to be like a 3-point unit. A worthless piece of crap that's just cheaper is still a worthless piece of crap. Alright.
I mean, I'm sorry. My Covenant is more worthwhile than the Repenter.
Oh, yeah. By far. A long way. By far.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that's my opinion. Let's jump. Want to talk about the point system? This is probably the biggest
issue that I have with the new one.
Okay, so let's just say right up front. I guess I gotta explain what it did.
Okay.
All the guys' points were reduced, like, down to a much smaller scale. Where before, say, a light warjack was maybe high 60s to maybe low 80s. Heavy warjacks were low 80s to, you know, 120, 130-ish on the very high end. Infantry usually fell from the range 40 to 80, depending on their abilities. Everything's now been reduced to scale, where something basically costs 1 to 13 points. And war casters are factored in totally differently. We'll talk about those a little bit later. So other than the war casters, do you like the new point scale?
No, I do not.
Why not?
Why not? I believe there's too many units that have too many, you know, they're the same point costs, but they aren't the same value. They really are. One guy will be almost always picked over the other guy due to the fact the other guy is somewhat, you know, so much weaker, but it's not, you know, weak enough to be, you know, 1 point less. I believe there's, because of such, you know, you can have such in-between values where they round the value of these units, it should be a greater amount of points. And any idiot, you know, obviously, oh, you know, so much easier to add, but you know what? Okay, then make it 20 out of 20, you know, make them up to, you know, 20 points or something, like double the cost, you know, double the cost so that you can actually have these individual points. And that's why I don't like it.
Here's why I think you're completely wrong. Let's take a look at MechWarrior, for example. Very high level granularity, points ranged all over the board from, you know, 7 points for wussy infantry all the way to 300 points for big mechs. 90% of the pieces were absolute crap or were never used. So the end result is 10% of the pieces were all that were really used, and the fact is it's high level granularity, but the fact is a lot of the pieces were crap, even though they were cheaper than, you know, pieces that were maybe 10, 15 points better. We'll say that, so the pieces that were 10, 15 points more were better. You never took the cheap, crappy pieces. You just did it. So the fact is, your argument that because the fact it's a smaller point scale that you're going to have, people aren't going to take guys that are the same point value because they're worse, it happens in every single game regardless of the point scale. It happens in Warhammer 40,000. It happened in War Machine before. It happened in MechWarrior.
But could it also be said that because of this, maybe the, you know, a lot of these War Machine guys are good enough, except for, well, now the cleansers, are good enough at, you know, point value-wise to take if they were slightly less. Maybe, you know, hey, 1 point less. Okay. You know, but there's no individual rounding.
1 point less on a scale of 150
points. I'm not saying 150. We're talking about, okay. As I said, maybe it should be doubled. Though the amount of, you know, hey, so instead of these guys being 5 points, they're 10 points now.
And someone else is 9?
So, and maybe they're rounded down. Yeah, 9. So it just gives you a little bit more leeway. Hey, you have the extra 1, you don't have that extra 1 point, but you can get this other unit instead. Well, you know, it's not as good, but I can still take this unit that will fit where I, you know, what I need.
I think the only case you'd actually choose that 9 point unit that was worse over the 10 point unit is if you were only had 9 points left.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like you would have 3 of the good 10 point units, and oh crap, I need to fill, you know, one spot in. Okay, take one guy 1 point less. So they're basically being treated as worthless filler that probably won't do much in the battle.
Wow.
So why not? I mean, I think because the reality though, this forces Privateer Press to do a better job at designing units. They have to make more unique options for you to take. Otherwise, you obviously aren't going to take units. You're not going to buy the figures. They're going to lose money.
But they also said when they first came out with these units that they were going to make sure that all units would still be playable, pretty much. It was their whole goal was that everybody would be able to take.
That's their goal, yeah.
Still, the cleansers no one's going to use. Ever. Ever. That Adirian skirmishers will be maybe used and, you know, case to case. But they're so, you know, cost-wise, because of, maybe partially due to rounding up, that they're not useful by themselves.
How much do the cleansers cost? You know, are they like, what, 5 or 6?
I would assume so. I don't know. I'm not interested in them anymore. Using them as holy hand grenades was something fun.
So the case of the cleansers, then, they're not. It's not that because they cost more, it's because they lost their useful special abilities and makes them worthless.
Yeah, that's part of it. What part, you know, where points come in is based on special abilities.
Probably sounds off on the microphone if I'm rummaging through the papers. I'm stop that.
So don't worry about it then.
But I think the reality is, okay, so let's say, say you've got a crappy unit that costs six points compared to another good unit that costs 6 points. Double it to 12 points and 11 points. Are you honestly going to take that 11-point
unit? Well, it's not even...
If it's still a piece of crap.
Well, we're saying that both of them are 6, but one is actually worth 5.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and it's 11. But I'm
double,
not... I'm
double
not,
it to your double your points scale. You got the 12-point unit, and you got 11-point
unit. I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, it's necessarily worthless. Cleansers is just the one big example. So, but there's certain things here that... Like the Paladin and the...
Essential?
I mean, actually, they're different point values, but... So
Paladin
I can't
two,
really...
Essential's 3?
Yeah, I can't really compare it. But we'll go with something a little bit easier. The Crusader and the Repenter. Crusader's been, you
know,
obviously...
6 points, right?
Yeah, they're both 6 points. Crusader, you know, is a really nice one. I just don't use it based on what I require my army. But is it actually worth, you know, exactly the same as Repenter? That's the case. I don't know. Maybe depending on my army, this is actually, you know, maybe worth more. But the fact that there's the same point cost in anything, they perform two different abilities,
yeah.
But at the same time, is it actually worth the same exact amount?
But yeah, but I mean, the reality is, regardless of the point, I'm not saying you're wrong. You're obviously there's an issue here where two guys cost the same point value and one's obviously better.
That's where
But that's independent of the new point scale.
No, it's actually part of it because they have to round all these points that they have. They create maybe one's 5.4, then the other one's 6.4 or 5.5, and the other one's 6.4. They're both rounded to six.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but the 6 is going to be almost always taken over the one that's actually valued at 5.5.
So you're going to go ahead then, let's say you go ahead, and now you double the points value. You've got a 12-point and 11-point unit.
Maybe, then you have the actual point.
At some point, as long as the guy who's 1 point more is still a lot better, then you're going to have to get to some super high level granularity back to the original War Machine.
Not necessarily. My racks are worth 1 point. That one extra point, well, I don't have racks, but when I get them, that one extra point, maybe I feel that the extra 1 point less is worth, you know, having racks. The racks are worth 1 point. I mean, they're very valuable.
Yes.
But if I have a point, you know, where this guy is worth that extra, you know, 1 point more from being rounded up, I can't take the racks. And I'll take the other guy. Instead.
Then okay, well, whatever.
I see what you're saying, if there's way too many points, but I think we've gone to the opposite extreme where there's way too few points.
I personally don't think it matters, just because, like I said, if you've got a unit that's obviously superior, I don't care how many more points it is, you're going to take that unit unless you got some filler crap. Which, by the way, also, I want to bring up my other argument as to why I think... I mean, maybe a little level of granularity might maybe better, but the reason, the whole the way it used to be is War Machine Mark I, why I think having, like, a high level of granularity compared to the small one is also relevant, is that, you know, if you've got, say, two squads infantry, let's say these guys, squad A over here is 67 points, squad B is 62 points, the reality is it all comes down, there's a lot more to determine who's going to win that fight than just the fact that one guy's 5 points less. So that's why... You know, that's why, who cares if it's 67 or 62 points? Condense them down, and they're both 6 points. Because, frankly, they're about... It determines so much more who's going to win the fight than just those few points. That's my also another thing, I think.
Well, possibly, maybe. Just, we don't know. We really have no way of determining this.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think... Okay, well, whatever. Let's talk about some points-wise.
As we've already started arguing.
Yes. Well, that's bound to happen. Let's talk about something point-wise I think is really, really stupid. And it's how the warcasters fit into your army. I think this is just ridiculously stupid. So here's how it works. You have a point value. Say we're playing 25 points.
Yeah.
Your warcaster is free. But then the warcaster provides additional points to your army. That can only be spent on warjacks. So, like, for example, Captain Haley has 5 warjack points. Where is she chilling around here? She is right here.
Yeah.
So if I have a 25-point army and I play Captain Haley, I now have a 30-point army, even though it's technically it's still a 25-point army. This is just stupid.
Well, I think the whole reasoning is, as much as it's stupid, is the fact that not enough people are playing with warjacks. The whole point was force people to play with warjacks, even if they weren't able to nerf up the infantry enough,
mm-hmm.
they're going to say, you're going to play with a warjack or you're going to be punished for it.
That's a valid point, yes. But why do it where your warcaster is free and provides a certain number of other warjack points? Because they tried to basically make the warcasters all be about the same power level. They obviously didn't do that. That's why she has 5 warjack points. Kraelis has 6 warjack points.
Yeah.
Six. And some casters have 7.
Harbinger has 5.
It's basically, I think what they did, they tried to take what they do in Monster Apocalypse, where you have a single monster in your army, where in Monster Apocalypse all the monsters are about the same power level, and the fact is because they couldn't make the warcaster the same power level, they had some kludgy system they came up with to try to solve the issue, and it's just stupid.
Well, it gets them all into the same like kind of like generic, you know,
but
point
why
cost.
Not, why not just assign a generic point cost to the warcaster, say like 5, 6, 7 points or whatever they may be, and require you to take 5 points of warjacks or 6 points of warjacks? Say you gotta say at least 6 points of your army has to be a warjack.
Well,
problem solved, and makes it at least cleaner army builds.
I think the whole point was to give people an option, because if people didn't at least, even if it is a crappy option, which no one's going to do, people still have the option not to take warjacks at all.
Well, yeah, but why not just say...
I'm not saying that, you know, nobody would take a warjack.
But what I'm saying still has that same option, what you're describing.
No, you said you have to. These guys have to take 6 points.
Okay, fine. You have 6... So reword the rules. Not you have to take 6 points of warjacks. Say you have 6 points of your army, which could only be spent on warjacks. Same exact thing the way it is here. But instead of having this kludgy system where you got to add to your original point value, so the reality is your 25-point value army is really 32 points, or whatever it may be, you've got a situation where your 25-point army is 25 points, your warcaster has a normal cost value associated with it, and you spend it accordingly, and 6 points of your army can only be spent on warjacks. If you don't use the 6 points of the army, you'll lose them. Same as it is now with Mark II, it's just cleaner.
Well, yeah, really no difference between those what you're saying and this.
It isn't. It just makes it's more traditional based. Oh. If all the warcasters were the same point value, and they didn't need to have different values of warjack points, I would say go ahead and include them for free, because then you know there's no additional. But
adding.
They didn't do that because they can't without totally screwing everything up. So they got this stupid system. I think it's stupid anyway.
Well, it's stupid, but it's not. I don't think important.
Yeah, whatever. So I mean. It's unnecessarily messy math, really.
Just because you can't add and subtract properly doesn't mean the rest of us can't.
But it... That's bound to come up at some point in this episode. Alright. I still think it's totally pointless.
Okay. And you know what? I accept your opinion. But
you substitute your own?
Yes.
I reject your opinion and substitute my own in the process.
No, I accept that you have an opinion. I just reject the actual opinion itself.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
Anything more to say about infantry nerfing at all?
Not too much. I haven't really had a chance because most of my guys haven't been changed enough where I played them enough where I've seen the change, except for really the nice exemplar, as I said before.
So
which were what, 0.92 of the original cost?
0.92 of the original cost. Yeah, let me bring that up right now, because that's the next thing we're going to talk about. Was about a week ago or so, I posted an article on the Army Showcase, where the idea was to try to figure out how the points values in Mark II compare with those in Mark I. And the idea is all based on the concept of currency exchange, where, you know, obviously, if you, in economics, you say the strength of the United States dollar compared to, say, the British pound or the euro obviously mm-hmm. fluctuates day to day. So yeah. Based on analyzing the U.S. dollar versus a whole bunch of other currencies, you can figure out how strong was the U.S. dollar that day mm-hmm. compared to how it was yesterday. Same idea with point values. What you essentially do is you say, okay, I've got an ironclad out here, and I've got a charger. In, let me get the exact numbers for that. In War Machine Mark I, the charger cost 0.73 the value of the ironclad. And then in War Machine Mark II, the charge now only costs 0.57 of that of the ironclad. Therefore, in relation to the ironclad, the charger is now cheaper, right?
Yes.
And now if we go ahead and compare that, take that charger, compare its point values between Mark I and Mark II to a bunch of other units, and you'll get an idea of whether, you know, is a unit actually cheaper or is it more expensive in comparison to
based on the normal values, obviously.
Yeah. So obviously one thing, this doesn't take into account for ability changes. It's purely straight up just looking at points. Because you really can't calculate the ability.
Well, they did somehow.
Well, they did somehow. 2d6, go! 12 point value! No, not that bad. Maybe more like 1d6 plus 3. But yeah. So, I mean, what this really does, and then you go ahead and you compare the, basically, Mark 1 relative point values to the Mark 2 relative point values and determine who's stronger, who's cheaper, who's more expensive in Mark 2 versus Mark 1. So
yeah.
It's all basic economics. I have the equations on the page if you want to read it. But in reality, it confirms a lot of what we already knew. Warjacks, in general, are cheaper. Some are a lot cheaper.
Yes.
Charger.
Crusader is a ton cheaper, too.
Yeah. All the Menoth Prime Jacks, I think they're all cheaper. Some Warjacks are not cheaper. Not surprisingly, the Lancer is not cheaper. Wherever he's sitting, he's in front here.
Because it gets to take out the Cortex?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely... What is he? He is 1.19 times what he cost in the original game. The Sentinel... Like I said, Sentinel's cheaper. All the Prime Jacks are way cheaper. You're a Repenter.
Yeah, wow.
0.66 the cost of what it was. And
no one's still going to use it. Yeah, no one's going to use it. Not until they redefine some rules on...
Yeah, they need to clean that up. But, I mean, also, infantry and solos, in general, are more expensive. The exception being guys who got their basic abilities cut down. Sword Knights, for example, they're not as powerful as they were in Mark 1. They're only 0.79 cheaper.
And
your Knights Exemplar are a little bit cheaper, 0.98 of what they were in Mark 1. That's because they lost a lot of point values. I mean, other infantry, long gunners are 1.3 times what they were. The Stormsmith, 1.25. Your Deliverers, 1.35. Choir, 1.63 times what it cost in the original game.
And they're worth every point of it.
They're well worth of it. 1.25 times for your Zealots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can see how it basically also really doesn't confirm what Privateer Press said they're going to try to do. Infantry is more expensive and weaker. War Machines are cheaper. And this obviously reflects exactly that. I mean, it's, like I said, it's kind of a well-duh observation. But it numerically quantifies that, so it's nice to see it, I think.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wish they would improve the Warjacks a little bit more than they did. They really focused more on decreasing cost and increasing infantry cost and cutting abilities of the infantry than increasing abilities.
I mean, they did make Warjacks more survivable. They don't get disabled anymore. They got to be completely blown away. So they're definitely, I guess, you have to take a while to see, are they really a lot better? I think they are, but, you know, it takes some games, different situations. They're still... They're still crappy Warjacks.
Yeah.
Planter. And honestly, I'm not going to take the Sentinel ever again. But the reality is, I'm not going to take the Sentinel? What's one thing you didn't talk about? The new infantry formation rules.
Yes.
This is a huge change.
Oh,
In a lot of ways.
It's better.
It's basically infantry can spread out more. So they can cover a much larger area. The distance between each individual soldier is a lot more, or can be a lot more. You don't have to have them like that. You can have them clumped together, because some people do get advantages for being base to base. And this really changes a lot of the units. The Choir is a big one, and also nerfs a lot of guys, the Sentinel.
And nerfs also Haley's Chain Lightning a little bit.
Chain Lightning a little bit, unless you... I mean,
well, there's not enough room with this many infantry, so I actually might have to go more Warjack base, which I'm thinking...
I mean, for example, I know the Choir is so much more powerful because of this. Because the fact is, they also don't have to rely on the War Priest to chant the spells. Everyone does it.
And, yeah, then so Leader shows up again.
Yeah, and there's no longer a slant the guy, he's down, and then, okay, well, that's it for the Choir. No, they just keep coming back again and again and again, and freaking again.
And it doesn't... And the Harbinger with her martyrdom and the Covenant with...
Why don't you tell them about that? I honestly think this might be a bit overpowered, but I mean, maybe I just haven't figured out the right strategy for it yet. But tell them about...
Well, you could overload
what
martyrdom.
What do you do? Just, yeah, that's the only thing you really can do, but what do you do?
I keep my Covenant. The Covenant has a special ability, which I will...
Who also got boosted very nicely, I think, by
which,
the way.
Yes, well, they... It's just
it's
required...
It's more practical.
Yeah, it's required way too much time to use. You need a really big army to use it properly. Okay, if I can actually find it ever.
The power of faith can knock people over, is that what you're thinking?
Yes, you are correct.
Yes. I know that because he used that every turn against me.
Cannot be knocked down or made stationary in his command range, which is 8 inches. So I just keep my infantry within, usually, except for a couple odd ones, in his command range. I, along with that, use martyrdom. So whenever he kills one of my guys, I martyrdom them. And
what does martyrdom normally do?
It requires them to be knocked down.
So instead of dying, they get knocked down.
Yes.
But now they can't get knocked down. So they stand right back up.
Yes.
It's just this horrific mass infantry you can't kill. I mean, about all I could really, the only way I could really do it would be to say, bring lots of long gunners and just fire away and overload martyrdom. Because, you know, martyrdom might cause up to 3 points of damage on
every kill. Every kill, yeah.
It did for a while there. It was like 3 points of damage.
That's because,
that's crappy rolling.
Yeah. Well, good rolling, bad. Because the higher the number. So I was rolling high numbers, which meant bad.
I mean, the reality is, the past two games, I didn't kill a single infantry soldier because you're just this mass of regenerating blob. That's what it is. It's this giant mass of blob that moves across the field. I fire everything I got into it, and nothing happens. They literally don't get knocked down. They just stand there and take it.
No,
what the heck?
No, it's more like this. Falls down.
It doesn't even fall over because it can't be knocked over. He just sits there, boom. Oh, I got shot through the heart. Oh, well, how are you doing, buddy? I took a bullet to the head. I'm fine. Martyrdom's not like limited to one thing per turn or anything like that, is it?
No.
It's just disgusting. So, I mean, I guess.
Was a 20-inch command range?
Yeah, a 20-inch command range. Maybe,
or control.
Control area. Control. If she had a reasonable control area, like every other warcaster, maybe it wouldn't be that big a deal. But it covers the whole friggin' army. And then on top of that, your choir guys are always helping your warjacks. So I can't shoot them.
Yeah.
It's just, no. That's
and
not.
Then this guy has also his other ability, which is really nice, is Flames of Wrath, which can set any guy on fire immediately with a direct hit.
Oh, wonderful. Is that for any attack at all, or is that just range attacks?
Yep, any attack.
Oh, just wonderful. And he never used that. Cause
I used it once.
Well, the time would usually run out by the time you're slow-moving blob trying to get to my lines.
That's because I'm moving. I moved a lot this time.
Well, yeah, but you're still just moving a blob. I just took fire. Oh, my goodness. But
you kept retreating back and trying to flank me.
Well, because all I can do is pump shots at you, and hopefully you roll enough high numbers on martyrdom that starts to worry you.
And then I heal myself.
And you heal yourself, because you have 10 friggin' focus. You can 7 of that to heal yourself.
And martyrdom again.
And cast martyrdom. It's freaking ridiculous. Okay, that's me. That's just me.
Yeah,
okay.
So...
And I'm going to post it on the forum. See if maybe I'm just missing some obvious tactic to defeat that.
Well, you just overload martyrdom. I mean, obviously I have enough infantry. They can't continuously do that.
I guess my brain's overloading because I'm basically either I build an army to tailor to stop it, which is lots of long gunners, which I could theoretically have two squads of long gunners because that's
which would cause a problem for me.
Which so I'd have 20, but then the reality is then I got a situation where I built such a specific army to defeat yours.
I go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I can very easily be defeated by some other tactics. It's just because then the game starts moving towards paper, rock, scissors.
Your chain lightning, though, could easily take out that blob. You've been rolling massive, and that overloads
chain lightning is probably the one thing I do that could possibly stop it. But the thing is, then and the end result, though, is I get my Lancer up there to channel chain lightning. Anybody that survives charges the Lancer and murders them next round. And then I get one round of chain lightning to maybe kill two guys. And that's assuming,
two guys,
that's,
I'm sorry.
That's assuming I roll high.
I'm sorry, you've been rolling fives and sixes every time you change lightning.
That's your probability. That's, so there I rolled, okay, three.
I'm sorry, that's a 1 in 3 chance you're going to get a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, but you know, it's, I don't know.
33%, that's pretty good.
Then I get one shot at using it. And it's worth trading my Lancer for maybe 2 Knights Exemplar or maybe 2 Zealots. And the answer is no, it really isn't. That's the problem. Because my Lancer will die in the next round because he'll be charged or hit by everybody.
I mean, you could probably come with some temporal barrier combination that makes it.
The temporal barrier does the damage.
Temporal barrier is brutal, but all it does is slow your blob down and make it absorb more damage. If it has something like a negate your stupid martyrdom ability, I don't know.
I mean, Harbinger got nerfed though from doing her call of war where she goes in battle and hits somebody. Everyone else gets an additional melee attack. No one can't do that anymore. And that's ability.
Well, they're weaker, but you're still a blob.
Anyway, we're getting towards the end of the show here.
So, we're...
Anything
I'm sure
else to rant about in the last few minutes?
Well, obviously, you have a lot.
In all honesty, though, do you like the new rules, yes or no?
Overall, yes.
Same here, I do like them. I'm not going back to Mark 1. I mean, granted, there's still some issues, and maybe I'll talk to the guys in forum, maybe they come up with some decent tactics that still can take that out, that blob out, without, you know, leaving me vulnerable to everything else. But, I mean, I like it, personally.
I was about to charge you in the next couple of turns, too.
Yeah, we ran out of time.
Yeah.
We're not playing something right if we're running
out of time. Yeah, we're running
out of time when, like, two guys dying, because your stupid blob just... It moves, I don't care, it moves more, but it still moves slow.
Well, most mouth guys are slow. To begin with, I mean, except...
You move them about 1 inch of turns, you keep them in a giant blob.
I moved them more than 1 inch.
No more blob talk. Too much blob talk.
I was moving them about 5 inches a turn, thank you.
There you were.
Yes, I was.
Too much blob talk. We've been talking. Okay, so let's just go ahead and end the show here. I mean, yeah, I'm playing Mark II. I'm looking forward to see what they
actually do.
They
final.
Doing. I've got a few changes of my own to recommend. Personally, I think the Covenant's Power of Faith generally prevent knockdowns from enemy attacks that make your mess a lot easier to deal with. So then I can shoot the same way over and over again. Then I can knock one guy down and shoot him again, again, and again, and watch him rack and burn him that way.
Of course you would think that.
I would think that.
I mean, just like, you know, I love your long gunner's nice, you know, abilities.
Shoot you?
They shoot me very well.
The only one to do is shoot you, and their bullets just get absorbed into your body.
They do a very good job, okay?
No matter what we do, it goes back to me being angry at the bomb.
And the Stormsmiths are still extremely powerful. Really, if you really want to, you could bring those guys in, and that would cause wreak havoc on me. They really would.
They'd be any better than the long gunners. They're effectively cost the same as the long gunners. The long gunners have longer range.
I mean, you get two of them, there you go, you get double the...
That's true, I never use a triangulation and, like, their delineation stuff.
I mean, you just need to create new tactics, that's all. Your tactic of using one unit of longers to take them out isn't working, so create a new tactic. I mean, that's what this game's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be some tactics that don't work against others, and that's how it's going to be.
My only concern is, can you create a valid tactic that can stop such a thing without making the game into paper, rock, scissors?
Area effect weapons. I mean, if you bring out your Grenadier.
And
your Trenchers, I mean...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess I could... I could do a Trencher-Grenadier combo, because then I could do area effect, and also I could have my Spoke Bombs cover me up after I fire. Yeah, you know...
See, there's plenty of ways
that.
I've...
I can try something like that.
There's plenty of ways I've thought of that you can do it.
Right, it's just I'll try
it's just your one tactic is not doesn't work, and that's what you're angry about.
I've had several attacks that don't work against the blob.
The blob.
The end result is I have to bring a lot of shooty guys. I mean, because I can't rely on melee to fight the blob, because that eliminates a whole swath of style of armies for me. I can't rely on the hunter, who's probably the most powerful hunter, or the defender, because they can only do one shot per turn. So that eliminates them as effective ways of fighting the blob. I still usually have a hunter to eventually fight your warjacks. I can't send my guy. If I have a lot of melee guys, I can't send them in because you're better than melee than me. So therefore, they'll charge and maybe do some damage. They'll get thoroughly destroyed. Oftentimes, your Crusader's Call, you can outcharge me. Therefore, that nullifies melee even more. So, therefore, you basically push me in a corner of having... The best way I got to fight that is a lot of range guys. The Sentinel's not very good anymore, because he only attacks guys that are within 2 inches of the primary target, which you often can get around a lot easier. Because now you can split the infantry guys
out. Well, you could overload my Martum and force me to make a decision between Crusader's Call and... You know, there's plenty of ways. Okay, you just got to be willing to make those sacrifices.
We really got to stop talking. We're running over time like crazy.
Wow. We got a little too into this.
We did. But anyway, I mean, overall, I do like it. I'm looking forward to playing more games with it. So, last few little things I want to mention. We're still trying to get some votes in for what game we're going to review next. Blood Bowl is in the lead.
We actually have votes?
We do have votes. Yes, I got a few Twitter votes.
Wow.
So, Blood Bowl is in the lead. And also, other things, so the original choices were Mutant Chronicles, which since the game has now been canceled in the past 2 weeks, it's out of the running. Even Pulp City, which I really don't want to review. Well, I don't know what the other games were.
Wow, you're such a great...
The World War One Dreadnought game, Blood Bowl, there's a fourth game in there, but obviously I don't give a crap about it.
When's the new Monsterpocalypse stuff coming out?
I don't know. My local store doesn't even know they existed, so I'll have to go try
because
to
it's on the website, it talks about it.
Yeah, we'll probably, maybe later in the summer when more the stuff comes out. Other things you can do, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. I'd like to give a shout out to two of my Twitter followers who submitted shows or submitted ideas for today's show, just to see what we covered. It was O'Conlin and Jerry Bio. So hopefully we covered your points. It's Jerry_Bio. You can follow them on Twitter. And then also, other than that, Jason@RocklessSoftware.com. Send me emails, questions, comments. Am I yelling too much at Kyle about his crazy tactics? Whatever you want to say. So that's Jason@RocklessSoftware.com. RocklessSoftware.com. And if you're bored one night, you can track me down on Steam. Username is Rock Robotics, just like it is on the Army Showcase. And if you want to play some Left 4 Dead, I got that up here and have some fun playing that. So that's Steam, Rock Robotics. If you want to play Left 4 Dead, that's on the PC, obviously. Other than that, right, anything else you want to comment on?
You can never yell at Kyle too much.
Ryan says I can never yell at Kyle too much. I think Ryan is right.
I would like to disagree upon that. I've been very polite and respectful today.
Iron Man 4.
I'm sorry. Just because you can't, you know, actually do your tactics doesn't mean that you need to yell at me.
We will see. I'm sure in the future we can talk about some of the tactics more and see how things eventually evolve out. But until then, let's sign off. We gotta get out of here. We talk about this game too much.
You can never talk about this game too much.
You really can. I mean, you could probably go on for a couple more hours. But I do intentionally. We don't need to keep droning on for too long.
Yeah, people will stop listening.
45 minutes is long enough for a podcast, in my opinion. But okay, go ahead.
As always, I'm Kyle,
and I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.